Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, I don't either. But anyway, we've got some people watching that. We've got a lot of people headed out fishing, a lot of questions they're asking, too. This is a good question came on a text message board. When Rand Trasher of CCA joins us, they want us to ask if they catch a fish and they give the rod to a 7-year-old son, and it happens to be a tagged redfish, does he get to claim the prize, or is he out of luck because he handed the rod off? So,
I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let Rad answer that later.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
I don't think he's going to like the answer.
I think the 7-year-old, whoever lands the fish, gets it. But then again, like we have for official state records, only one person can handle a rod. So I don't know if they have that same rule, but it's
we'll
a good question.
And he comes on at
He'll be with us 30. At 8 o'clock, on the Moore Outdoor Show. And we got Hunt Fish Talk coming up from 7 to 8 with Wendy
Bill
Yacht.
That's a good question, too, because CCA, we know with those huge prizes, they think they do require lie detectors on some
polygraph
of them, too.
Polygraph on pretty much – it's at random. They don't give a polygraph to everyone, but when you sign up, you agree that you will abide by the results of a polygraph. Even if you're telling the truth and the polygraph doesn't work, you've signed it, whatever it says. I mean, they got to do that for integrity. There's no other way
absolutely.
They can get
when
around
you have,
it.
You know, vehicles given away and – money, and it can
muddy
the waters
easily.
Well,
there's been some cases in the history of Star. Now that it's been going on, what was it, 20-something years? 24, I think it was. You know, it's the rodeo, 24th annual. After that many years, you're going to have a lot of stories and history about it.
Hey, by the way, if you're interested in this and you say you don't want a truck or a boat, they have a new prize, a new Hobie Compass kayak. And I'll tell you what, those things retail for a pretty penny. So if you're interested in a kayak, that's one of the options. You can go to the CCA website and show you which division is sponsored by which brand. But that's pretty exciting.
I'd take the boat or the truck.
We're going to get you in a kayak, though, once we get that knee better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
hey,
easy.
That might be good therapy for you.
Pedaling? Yeah, that might be part of my therapy. Maybe I'll get the doctor to prescribe that.
Yeah. I need a Hobie, please.
Here's one that I don't think they'd pay for it.
Hospitalization
won't cover that. Here's one. Thanks for the show and the information. This is from my friend Lafayette Yacker. He said, the recovery for knee is easier than the shoulder you had. Take it easy. You'll be in the outdoors in no time. Yeah, everybody keeps telling me that. And
well, you told me, so you've had your knee done and your shoulder done in the past 9 months or so. You said that you don't know what it's like to wake up and not have pain. So one thing that made me laugh was you said, animals better watch out. When he's healed up, it's going to be lethal.
Oh, they're
in trouble.
Yeah, something's going to die pretty often when I get back. I'll be able to keep up with those dogs and track down the birds and get out and paddle.
Absolutely. Be able to
paddle
walk around some more.
You know, even paddling with the shoulder was a problem. So, and the paddling.
And how's your shoulder now?
Shoulder's coming along. It's going to take a while before it gets strength back, but I got full mobility in it. That's enough of my health problems. People don't want to hear that. Anyway, we got somebody from Joe is on his way to work. Unfortunately, that's what we have to do to pay for our fishing and hunting trips. We've got to work. Mm-hmm. So get it done, Joe.
People tell us that we don't really work. You and I.
Sometimes I believe them. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. But, you know, you got to see what goes on behind the scenes. All right. Our text number, if you want to get a message into us, is 870-870. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you got going on, what you're doing. If you got a report or a question, something, you know, a lot of times people provide us some information about access to launches and different situations that it really pays off for people to know. There's no way we can get all that information, so it's great that it comes from some of our listeners. And right after this 3-minute pause, we will be back with Mike Gallo, the ever popular this morning. We'll see what he's got to talk about right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
The Mike Gallo Fishing Report, presented by SeaTow, offering fuel drops wherever and whenever you need it. Tow-ins 24/7, jump starts, peace of mind, knowing rescue is just a call away. For only $179 a year, become a member. Call Captain Chris at 504-301-4545 or go to seato.com. That means we're talking to Mike Gallo this morning. You are a popular man today. A lot of people want to ask you some questions.
Oh, well, how are you and Don doing?
Don is doing as best as he can right now. He's hanging in there.
We hope for a speedy recovery. I got some good therapy for that shoulder.
How about the knee?
That's right. Casting it. Oh, the knee. Well, I'll net him for you. I forgot. I thought you were... That's right. You're right. You're right. I'm getting old and forgetful.
No, I got both. I had a shoulder.
Well, he's the titanium man now.
That was
a while back.
Yeah,
that was September. Now we moved on to the knee.
Too bad Farrah Fawcett's not still around. You're getting to be the $6 million man.
It seems like it. Seems like it. Man, we have had people wanting to get your report, very anxious to find out about fishing in Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, Trestle Area, Causeway. I guess that all means speckled trout. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you there were some speckled trout caught a little bit earlier in the week. I'm actually idling through Lake Pontchartrain right now. Got a slow-falling tide. I'm on the north shore, and it's a south wind. It's very light wind. It's very pleasant. There have been some fish caught at the trestle. As of right now, the water's a little on the stained side, probably from all the wind and rain we had overnight. I would suspect it's fairly clean down on the bottom. So I would approach it like it was late March or early April. In other words, I'd stay real strict on my 15-minute rule. I'd pull up to whichever area I wanted to fish, make sure you get where there is some current, and a firm bottom is going to be helpful, and fish your live shrimp on the bottom, and stick to your 15-minute rule. You don't catch what you're looking for in 15 minutes, move, and move often until you find what you're looking for, and then try to duplicate that. If it happens to be a point or a cove or a bridge, you know, just try to duplicate it in other areas so that you can, catch fish in the same type of area. I would think the South Shore is going to have some tide rolling past it, as well as areas like Hospital Wall and right here close to where I'm at by Treasure Isle. So those would be the areas I would try here. As far as the platforms in Lake Bourne, that's where we've been doing the majority of our fishing. And they've been productive, anywhere from 20 to 40 trout a day. Been catching them mainly on the bottom, live shrimp with the drop shot rig. And then 10, 11 o'clock, the bite starts to fade down, head into the marsh and add some color to your box before you head in.
And that color would be?
Redfish. And we're catching those on a variety of lures. Yesterday was a interesting day. I started out fishing the Matrix crawfish and caught five in a couple of hours. It seemed like that's what they wanted. But in the second half of the day, the fellow fishing with me was throwing a spoon, and they just ate the spoon much better than they did the plastic. So it was a tale of two different lures, but fortunately we figured out what they wanted, and they ate the spoon, and we were able to catch a limit of redfish yesterday.
All right, very good. Now, as far as those speckled trout again, I know you told me you picked up some white trout, which was a little early in the year for those. Are they still showing up?
I did, and I had Captain Matt run a trip for me yesterday, and he had been fishing the platforms in Lake Bourne, but we had a pretty stiff wind, and I told him I found some white trout over by the castle in that deep channel. And I told him I'd go over there first, and maybe as the morning wears on, the wind would die down, and then you could get to your platforms or go red fishing. And it was every cast in that deep channel. They're not the biggest. You can catch them anywhere from 6 to, say, 12 inches, and most of them are probably 8 to 10. But there's no limit on them, no size, so you can catch a good number if you choose to. I think he put about 40 in the box, and then they went and caught some redfish.
Yeah,
so that's another option.
We were in Cocodrie last week, and we actually picked up quite a few, and the captain we were with said it thought it was a little early for the white trout as well, but they were showing up good-sized ones too, so that's good.
And Mike, given the tide range today, is this going to be a weekend where you need to fish choke points, or can you fish open waters? Is it going to be strong enough, or you need some help from bottlenecking areas?
I would, you know, that's part of, like we talked about earlier, when you catch a few and you want to duplicate that area, you not only want to duplicate the physical structure, you want to try to duplicate the amount of tide movement, whether it's fast or slow or somewhere in between. Water temperatures are warm, so I wouldn't think at all that the fish are going to try to hide from the tide. I think they'll get right in the middle of it. So it'll probably be more of a problem for fishermen than fish. I would not be afraid of the tide. As a matter
I
fact,
haven't heard.
As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, but we caught him in the middle of that channel by the castle, and that water was rolling through there.
What do you think it is that causes that water to roll through there like that?
Oh, it's the Mr. Go. It's like a big vacuum trying to reach its level. And that water, that's a funnel. If you look at the shoreline, it funnels through there. It's nice and deep when it gets towards the middle of the channel. So it sort of pulls that water in.
How about the CSX Railroad Bridge across Wrigley's?
Now, we've had big tides all week, and I got one report of someone hanging out by the bridge until the tide slowed down, and they were successful on catching some trout and a few sheephead. So I wouldn't rule that out either. You know, you kind of pay attention to where you are. And if you're in Lake Pontchartrain and it comes to a stop, then in Wrigley's Pass, it's still going to be moving because it is a choke point. So then you could run to the LMN Bridge, anchor up, fish there. And when the tide starts to get too strong, then you can go back to the bridge, and there may be just the right speed at the bridges. You can sort of play both ends of it.
Mike, the last question is the one I'm going to be asking you now through probably September. Triple tail. You didn't mention any, so either you haven't been there looking or you haven't seen any.
I caught one Wednesday. Saw one and caught one.
Congratulations.
Did you save it for me? Oh, that's my favorite.
My customers ate it that night.
So I was down in the lodge. Mike, I was down in Venice on Thursday fishing, and one of the guides came in with a 22.5-pound triple tail.
Ooh, that's a big
one. Oh, he looked like a
I tried my hardest to convince that customer that he was just an ugly trash fish he wanted to hand my way, but it didn't work. It was a beautiful thing.
Mike, what's your favorite recipe?
I think, you know, my customers were asking me the same question. How do you like the triple tail? And I said, you know, it's very versatile. You could broil it. You could bake it.
That's the best way to do it. It's so good. It's one of those fish you don't want to mess up.
It's kind of like snapper.
Well, what we ended up doing, one side I filleted all the way off so that they could fry it or broil it, and the other side we left the scales on so they could put it on the grill.
There you go, half and half.
Yep, and they ate it all. I didn't get an offer of anything.
My mouth is watering. That is such a good fish.
Where did you find it? Was it on a crab float or some other structure floating?
It was actually on a PVC pole sticking up out of the water.
Yeah.
My customers, they've been fishing with me 12 years, and they heard me talking about the islands on the outer edge of the marsh. We had good weather, so they said, let's go try that. And we went, and we caught some speckled trout, fishing, sparkle beetles under a cork, old-fashioned fishing. And then on the way back, water temperatures were in the low 80s. So I just ran past those poles along the oyster beds, and after 1,000 poles, we saw one, turned around, gave him live shrimp. He ate it, and we put him in the box.
As easy as it gets. Well, Mike, thanks for the report. Folks want to find you. You're all over my website. Got your picture and everything up there under the fishing guides. Your website, aaofla.com. And you got a good old-fashioned landline, which is becoming an endangered species. Give it to them.
Landline is 985-781-7811.
In case you didn't hear it, Martha's begging for a triple tail. So if you happen to get an extra one or two,
something tells me it's not going to make its way over here.
You have to go catch your own.
Let's go catch some. You take care of the knee, and I'll see if I can put Martha on a triple tail.
Yes.
Hey, look, we can target them. You know, we'd forego any other species. Just spend the whole day fishing triple tail.
I'd love
tail.
To do that.
Yeah.
I'll be making some trips out there, and when I start seeing them on a more regular basis, I'll give you a ring.
Sounds good, Captain Mike. Have a great day out there. Appreciate your reports as always.
All right, y'all do the same.
All right, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures. Coming up next, time for the Paddler's Report and also the Bayou Boogaloo Report. Is that thing going to go on or not? Eric Mahabarak may have an answer for us. Back with his report right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
And the Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by Massey's Outfitters, locations in Mid-City, New Orleans, Covington, Baton Rouge, offering the best kayak fishing models from Hobie, Jackson, and Native Watercraft. You can check them out on Facebook or masseysoutfitters.com if you're interested in a boat. So, we got Captain Eric Mahabarak, and there was a pretty wild event yesterday that happened down at Bayou St. John. Let's start with that.
All right. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, it was a lot better than yesterday afternoon. It was a pretty phenomenal bit of weather. I believe it's called a microburst. Is that correct?
Yep, yep, yep.
You know, I've been in some storms out in the bayou and on big boats and little boats and all of that stuff. And I'd say the wind was anywhere between 50, 60 miles an hour, if not better.
I
pulled in and I sat there and took a picture of the storm, the rain on my windshield. A friend of mine was messing with me. Anyway, the tent, the where they have the food and the beer and the soft drinks and everything, that, and it's like an industrial tent, literally lifted up and twisted off. It reminded me of a lot of Katrina when it was all said and done with. The Massey's booth was twisted in a big ball, and their tent is a little bit lighter, one of those pop-ups. And there was just the artwork, and everything was just scattered. It was just unbelievable. Hail, the winds. I don't know if it was a flat, if that's considered flat winds also, but it was something unbelievable what happened out there.
For those who are up or interested, Bayou Boogaloo is still going on today. They're going to work really, really hard to get it going. Unfortunately, the Massey's tent will not be out there. It took too much damage. Do you know, so Massey's was doing a raffle to win a Hobie kayak. Can folks go over to the store in Mid-City and buy those raffle tickets since they will not be out there now?
Yes, I do know they can go to the store in Mid-City. I believe you'd have to call, but I believe the North Shore and Baton Rouge is also selling tickets for this. But don't quote me on that. I would call before I went over to Massey's in Covington and Baton Rouge. But they are going to be selling them, and they still will be pulling that winning ticket for the Hobie Compass on Sunday afternoon. I do know that. So, and that helps Friends of the Bayou.
Let's talk about fishing. Where have you been catching some fish lately?
Well, I had a couple trips this week, and of course, I'm fishing Old Glorious Plaquemines Parish down Highway 23. I actually launched out of Yellow Cotton. Tides have been a little rough, you know, kind of flattening out at 10 a.m., 10:30, and the fishing just kind of shuts down, and you really have to work for them. And I've been doing good, though. I've been getting limits of reds. A few trout here and there, nothing really to talk about, but the reds have been coming somewhat easily, let's say, you know.
So what's going on over in Delacro?
Oh, Delacro, them boys have been casting them spoons and getting them reds out of the grassy ponds.
They are very, very grassy. That's where Hobie Kayaker Ty Hibbs and I went last week, and it was very difficult. There was so much fresh water in there that the grass is really thick over that way in St. Bernard.
Yeah, it is thick, that's for sure. But that's a fun way to fish, too. You know, there's different techniques you can use. You can use flukes and frogs and things like that work on it, things that you wouldn't normally think that a redfish would eat. And they'll hit that, too. You know, a lot of bass lures are good for that, of course, as everyone knows, you know. Also, they've been, and just to kind of switch to the other side of the world here, Bayou Signet has actually been catching some real nice bass. A few guys been going over there and launching their boat right at the launch right there and fishing around the pumping station and stuff and them canes, as you can see right across from the launch, and catching quite a few bass. And then we'll go out to New Orleans East in Irish Bayou. Same story, except they've been using silver spoons out in Irish Bayou to catch the bass on. That's a report I got from a friend of mine. He did pretty well. He didn't limit out, but he did catch 7. In Irish Bayou. And that's, you know, close for people to go and, you know, after work or maybe even before work, you know.
Eric, where's a good place to put in by Irish Bayou?
Irish Bayou, in that case, where he was at, he's been putting in by the Crabbin Bridge right there, sliding down right there off the Crabbin Bridge.
Yeah.
Or you can launch actually by the foot of Highway 11 Bridge right there and paddle into the lake and come back around and then ponds. Also, and if you want, there's actually a launch, which I do suggest using the launch on Irish Bayou right there by the camps. I think it's like $5 or $10 for the launch fee to get. You can go fish the salt side of it, more of the Lake Catherine side, I guess it would be. And then there's also, you can get onto the reserve, the game reserve back there. There's a launch that's free to the public there, and it's safe to put your car there. You know, that's a lot of fresh water back there. You know, I know some guys who fish perch and sockeye and bass, and it's just a close place to get to, you know, very easily accessible. But they got some nice gators back there, too.
All right, before we wrap up. Let folks know how our boys over in Sweden are doing. We have some updates on the Hobie Worlds competition.
Yeah, we got Ty Hibbs, local Louisiana boy, the youngest out of the crew that's over there, actually. Good fisherman. He's in 10th place as we speak right now. And so that's a big deal, you know. And two of the guys from USA that are from up your way, right, Martha?
That's right.
Are in second and fifth place. And then we got Brendan. He's in 15th. And
nice.
Steve is in 30th.
And we're talking about hundreds of anglers over there. So that's a big deal to be in the top 10 the first day.
It's actually 48 anglers. And these
that's
are the best
good.
In the world. These are the best guys, you know, best fishing guys in the world who they're up against. And they're fishing a species that they're not used to fishing, but Louisiana is very versatile. And these guys, you know, fish against some of the best in the state of Louisiana, you know.
They're fishing in deep, clear water over there. Mm-hmm. I know that. And if Ty can get on those yellow perch, which are apparently the trickier fish of the two out there, he's got two pike under his belt. But the perch, if he can get on them, he'll be in good shape. So it's exciting to keep up with that. And we actually did an interview with all three of those Louisiana Hobie members that you can catch at 9:30 this morning on Bayou Wild. So kind of see what they're up to over there.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, the only perch that was weighed in, there was only 13 perch that were weighed in out of 48 guys. So, and some of these guys are used to fishing that kind of fish. So just to give you an idea how difficult it is to catch those perch. And it's different than the bluegill and what we're talking about here. But I hope those guys do good, and they're holding up good name for Louisiana, of course. And go Team USA, you know, Hobie all the way.
All right. Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and book a trip and learn to fish out of a kayak, tell them how to reach you.
All right. They can, of course, use my phone number, 504-313-8292. You can also find me on Facebook. That's the Louisiana Kayak Company. And also on Instagram, and that's also at the Louisiana Kayak Company. But anyway, so y'all have a great morning and tight lines. See y'all, and we'll be getting together soon, hopefully.
Eric, are you going to be at the Boogaloo either way, since Massey's is not going to be displaying?
You know, I'm going to go take a ride out there, because I had planned on going to hang out by the booth and kind of tell people about the kayaks and stuff anyway. I'm going to go take a ride out there, listen to a little
So if you see a big goofy dude in tie-dye out there at Bayou Boogaloo, you can go talk
dude.
To him about kayaks.
what's he talking about?
I have no idea. Eric, we'll see you next time, buddy. Take care.
All right. Y'all be good. Thanks.
You too.
That was insulting.
I can say that.
Yeah, okay. You can. We'll be right back after this with Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Hey, Martha, we are starting Louisiana Safe Boating Week beginning today through the 25th. It's a proclamation that identifies Safe Boating Week in Louisiana. It kind of signifies the beginning of spring and summer boating season, reminding boaters about all the rules of the water for safety. And one of the most important things they bring up is the use of alcohol, because it is one of the leading causes of boating crash incidents and fatalities on the water. And unfortunately, we had one of those last weekend, and we'll be back to tell you that very sad story right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. In a tragic accident last Saturday morning, a 20-foot aluminum boat that was operated by 53-year-old Patrick White of Sorrento with his son Caleb White, 27, also of Sorrento, hit a bulkhead on the Amite River about 9 o'clock at night. Patrick White had minor injuries, whereas Caleb sustained fatal injuries and did not make it. According to Patrick White, the two left to go boating in the morning, returning from their trip when he hit the bulkhead. It is believed that Caleb White was ejected from the boat, hit the bulkhead, and ricocheted back into the boat. Very sad. Even though this is a violation, it's vehicular homicide. Could be anywhere up to a $15,000 fine and 30 years in prison. The DWI carries a $1,000 fine, 6 months in jail, and reckless operation brings a $200 fine, all of which he is charged with. But none of that punishment, I think, would be sufficient. his punishment is to come when something that tragic happens to your own family. It's sad.
It's an awful story.
But a reminder, if nothing else, that alcohol and water in boats don't mix well. Back with the Plastic Man Report. We're talking about Captain Ryan Lambert right after this.
And we're headed down to Plaquemines Parish. We're going to go check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man himself. How's it going down there in good old Beerus?
I tell you what, it's been on fire.
I was expecting nothing less.
The oil spill, it's just incredible right now. So it's good, just red specks, you know, no flounder, though, still no flounder, but the trout are off the charts, the redfish, oh my gosh, it's really good.
It's catching, not fishing, huh?
Yeah, I had my 75 trout yesterday, and then on the way in, I pulled up to a point and probably caught 50 reds on one point.
Wow.
Oversized.
So what do you think is making it so good right now?
Well, right now, we've had the west wind for probably 5 or 6 days, and anytime you get a wind that's consistent, it makes clear water somewhere because we have the river. So we have the river still, you know, probably 11, 12 foot, which is pretty high. And you have all this dirty water. But if the wind's consistent for a while, it cleans spots. And those fish will just flock to those spots. And it makes it, you know, it makes it a little easier, actually, to fish. Everybody's scared of that river water. But, you know, you get an east wind or a west wind, you know, south, anything for consistency, and it makes good areas. In those good areas, the fish go to them like we do. So it's you know how to work it, you go catch some fish.
So you're going to catch your limits if you come down there.
Right now, it's pretty good. Best trout fishing I've seen since the oil spill, without a doubt.
Hey, Ryan, what technique are you using? Are you fishing soft plastics, bouncing on the bottom, fishing under cork, or using something like a swim bait?
You can use a cork, but you know me, I like to feel that hit. So I like to throw, you know, touts or something. You know, I'll throw a Z-Man trout trick. You know, I'm still throwing my Dudleys. You know, those two baits are tough, and I don't have to fool with them a lot, and they work. So that's what I like to throw. H&H cockerels are tough. I throw them too. So all of those you know, just grubs on a quarter-ounce jig heads, and you find your structure, and you find out where they were. I mean, I had 6 or 7 boats come in on me yesterday. Not a single boat caught a fish using everything in the world. The tide was ripping real hard, and if you're not on the right spot, you're not going to catch them. So learning to read that water is essential. But you could catch them on a cork, but I'd much rather feel that hit than feel that see that cork go down.
Well, describe how you approach a moving tide and how do you fish it. From what angle, how close do you get to the spot?
Well, yesterday was extremely weird because they were in front of the tide. They weren't in back of the structure. Hmm. They were in front of it. They were actively feeding, so they were into that current, keeping their heads into the current. So they were there. And, you know, once I go around it a full circle, just like 3 days ago, I pull up to a spot, and then I trolled and trolled. We didn't catch a fish. And I said, I'm not leaving until I fish all the way around this thing. And, well, when we hit them, we put the power pole down, and we proceeded to hammer the nice trout. Yesterday they were a bit smaller because the tide was flowing so hard because those west winds had blown the water out. So when it was coming in, it was ripping yesterday, and the fish were a little smaller because of that. You know, they don't have the sense to the weight like, you know, the bigger ones do. So everything plays into it. I mean, there's so much to fishing that people don't understand. You know, when I get a new guide here and we start training them, and they think, oh, man, I could outfish all my friends. When they get around all the boys that are professionals, they say, oh, God, y'all know some stuff. There's just a ton of stuff that goes into fishing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the years of experience pays off, and that's when you go fishing with a guide. Not only is it a trip to catch fish and bring a box home, it's a learning experience.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, a lot of people, when they come, they just want fish. No, this is your opportunity to learn from people that's really got some time on the water and learn, picking their brains. You know, and most guys, you know, some of them are secretive about stuff, but I'm not. You know, I'm over all that mess. You know, I'm there to teach. You know, I want you to know how to do it so you can sit there and I can just take your fish off and you can whack them. You know, and
but you know, there's nothing more frustrating than, and I've been on both sides of the fence, where one boat is in the zone and there might be 3 or 4 boats right next to them throwing the same thing, rigged the same way, and can't catch a fish. And the other boat is just catching a limit. It's just amazing how tight an area those fish can be. Sometimes.
I believe that happened with us last week, Don. Remember we were watching some other boats?
I think I was on the bad side of the fence.
No, no, no. Well, we were on the good boat, though.
Yeah, right.
Other boats were trying to get their last fish, and they just kept watching us flip them in the boat.
I tell you, yesterday was like that because they were sitting there, two or three boats watching me, and we catch them pretty consistent, sometimes triples. So they get on the phone, and here comes some more boats. Like, you're going to call them and say they're biting here, but if you're not catching them, what are you doing? So they show up, and they get together, and they're talking, and finally they just leave, you know. It's like that. And, you know, because if I'm leaving, I'm calling one of my boys to come get on my anchor, you know, to make all our customers happy. So, you know, if the best thing to do is learn how to read the water. Don't go to a spot that you fish because you caught fish there before. When you catch fish there, you find out why. You look at what's happening. What's the tide doing? What's the water clarity? What's the bait? And you put that in your memory to where you can learn how to read it and go back and repeat that. Not repeat a spot, but repeat a condition. That's the most important thing about
catching. Right. See, you can have a customer who was with you yesterday, and then he'll go back in 3 weeks in his own boat and tell him, look, I was with Ryan Lynn. We're going to catch fish here. It'll be totally different. Might not be a fish there.
Yeah, because he's thinking about the spot. And I talked to
a
guy yesterday, same thing. Well, I'm old time. I go to spots instead. I said, no, learn how to read the water. That's the most important thing about being a successful fisherman.
And Martha, the 20 Echo, we talked to Danny last week. What a great way to log all that data that Ryan's talking about.
Yeah, my mom actually called me after that interview and said that she listened to the whole thing. And she's, you know, old school angler herself, and she just found it insane. She's like, that is a game changer app. She thinks it's the coolest thing ever. So if you don't have 20 Echo, you should download it and check it out because it's really great.
I'm going to have to go check it out because I don't.
Yeah.
I wonder
you should
if I'm too
out.
Old to start.
Well, yours is all up in there anyway. If they remove your brain, we'd see data in there, you know, from all the years of fishing.
Flying around.
Yep. Well, Ryan, tell people how to get a hold of Cajun Fishing Adventures. They want to get in on some of that really good action. Hadn't been better than this in years.
No, it's great. They can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com, or they can call me direct, but not today because my cell phone died last night. Best
Uh-oh.
Thing is, if they want to book a trip, it's called the office at 9.
Tell the truth. You're going to be watching a royal wedding, and you're not going to be disturbed.
Put his phone on vibrate.
I got a bunch of LSU students. I'm doing a big, giant eco tour today. We're going to have a couple of
folks on that's fun.
So I'm going
that's
to teach about
be
restoration
fun.
Today.
Great.
So they can call the office at 985-785-9833. And after I get a new battery tomorrow, they'll be able to call me again.
All right, Ryan. Have a good time with those kids, man. Teach them well. Teach them well. We'll see you next week. Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, when we come back, going to tell you about fishing for free. Those of you listening to us on our Alabama affiliate, also some Cajun invasion news. Bayou Adventures got a lot of stuff going on in Lacombe, and also what's coming up next on Hunt Fish Talk. We'll be right back after this. Don Dubuque and Martha Spencer, where you are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, those of you who are listening to us in Alabama, or if you're in Louisiana, Mississippi, or anywhere else, and you'd like to fish for free in Alabama, they've got a free fishing day coming up on June the 9th. You can fish for free in public waters, including both fresh and salt water. It's part of National Fishing and Boating Week. It's kind of like a little tease. They give you one shot, and hopefully you'll fall in love with fishing, and you'll buy that license. But if you want to go fishing at the pier, got a great pier down there by Orange Beach and a lot of fishing down around Mobile Bay, and you've never been there, that would be the day to do it. You wouldn't have to purchase a license. We got a lot going on at Bayou Adventure in Lacombe today.
Our friends Shannon and Jeff, they have a new chef that's over at their business, Bayou Adventure, up in Lacombe, and they're doing some smoked meats and barbecue, which sounds awesome. $10 plates Tuesday through Sunday. They've also got boiled crawfish and live crawfish on sale. Got some of those not too long, about 2 weekends ago. So check them out. They always have a lot going on. You can rent kayaks out there, get your bait, and get all set up. And they also have a really good craft beer selection there. So if you're into that, they have quite the variety over there.
I wonder if they're doing the moonlight paddle tonight.
They have a moonlight paddle, but they also have a beer tasting going on as well. So that's going on probably midday today. We have a lot going on with Bayou Wild. There's a lot of airings of our show. It aired on Thursday, our new episode every Thursday, new episodes. But if you missed it, it's running today at 9:30 this morning. Tomorrow again at 7 p.m. And then Monday we got another additional airing at 9:30 p.m. And then Thursday at 5:30. So we're getting a lot of episodes out of this. Six episodes this
on
week.
On Cox Sports TV channel 37 in most areas. Check your local listings, but always on YouTube.
Right, yeah. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you don't get Cox Sports Television, you can watch it anytime, the full episodes on YouTube. We invite you to subscribe to our channel. There's a lot of extras there as well. We just got a text in. Somebody wanted to know more about 20 Echo. That's the name of the app. 20 Echo, check it out. Log your catches. All it is an upload, and it'll throw in every bit of information you'll need. And also, there is a sunset paddle at Bayou Adventure.
I think I called it a moonlight.
A moonlight
Depends on
paddle.
What time you
sunset
leave.
Sunset paddle.
Sunset's a little early than the moonlight.
Right.
All right, Cajun Invasion. Want to thank those of you who signed up. I got some people. We only had 20 spots. Some of those are gone. Go to my webpage and look under Bad River Hunts. We're going to go to South Dakota December 3rd through 7th, do some pheasant hunting. We're not too far away from Alaska. And coming up next from 7 to 9 is More Outdoors. And you can catch that on my website, live streaming at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Rad Trasher, Mike Farenholt's going to talk about the Shaw Rodeo and a whole lot more with Wendy Billiott and Keith Lusher. Stay tuned. We say goodbye to our affiliates. We'll see you next week back here again with The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.